This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's Jodrell Bank Centre for Astrophysics. For more information, see jodcast.net.
In the news this month, shimmering radio bursts, the roundest object in the universe, and life in dino-killing craters. Another first was revealed this month in the fast-growing field of fast radio bursts. These FRBs have featured quite a few times in the Jodcast since they were first discovered in 2007. The incredibly bright pulses of radio wavelength light last for a fraction of a second and are highly dispersed, meaning the time the light arrives depends heavily on the frequency of the radio waves. Such large dispersions mean that the FRBs are almost certainly from outside of our galaxy, which, when paired with their high brightness, means they must come from extremely energetic events. Since the first description, there have been 17 so far announced, although more are definitely lurking on various astronomers' hard drives. The newly announced 18th FRB, called 150807, after the date of its observation, is interesting for a few reasons, as detailed in a new paper by a team of scientists led by Vikram Ravi of Caltech in the USA and Brian Shannon of the CSIRO Institute in Australia. Firstly, it is the brightest yet seen, with a flux of 120 Jansky's, only a factor of 100 or so times fainter than the entire Milky Way at that same wavelength. Secondly, the FRB has the lowest amount of dispersion so far seen, 266 parsecs per cubic centimetre. This dispersion measure is still much larger than the 70 expected for a source within our galaxy in the direction of the FRB, but suggests that the FRB is the closest so far observed. Because the FRB was so bright, the astronomers were able to see it in two different pixels of the detector attached to the Parkes radio telescope in New South Wales, Australia. The two different pixels correspond to radio waves bouncing off slightly different parts of the telescope, which have different efficiencies. By knowing the shape of the telescope response and comparing the brightness of the FRB in the two different places, they were able to approximately reconstruct where on the sky the burst came from. Localizing FRBs on the sky is somewhat of a holy grail for the new class of object. If we know where they are, it is possible to look for events which are at different wavelengths of light, but coincide in either position or time, meaning we could learn which star or galaxy the FRB came from, and hence how far away it is, or whether the bursts are associated with other short-lived but violent events, such as gamma-ray bursts. The astronomers showed FRB 150807 probably came from a region on the sky with an area of about 9 square arcseconds, about the size of Mars on the sky. This might seem like a small area, but the sky is a crowded place, and there are at least 3 stars and 6 galaxies we know of in the area that the burst could have come from. Even if we do not know exactly where FRB 150807 came from, it does have the ability to teach us about the region of space it travelled through to get here. By looking at how the brightness of the FRB changed as a function of wavelength, the team were able to see a phenomenon known as scintillation. As the light from the FRB travels to us, it passes through the intergalactic medium, or IGM. This IGM consists of a highly dilute plasma of free electrons and negatively charged ions. Exactly how much of it there is floating about in space is a very interesting question. Because the IGM gives off so little light, it is very hard to observe, something which FRB scintillation can be very helpful with. At the moment, each FRB is still special, but as we see more and more of them, they will become valuable tools for astronomy and possibly even cosmology. And rather than talking about individual ones on the Jodcast, we will be able to tell you how they teach us about the universe. Also in the news this month were observations of the roundest object ever seen in nature. The object is a star known as KIC 1115123, but I'm going to call it KIC as I refrain from calling the FRBs Furbies. Astronomer Laurent Guizon of the Max Planck Institute for Sonnensystemforschung in Göttingen, Germany, led a team who used the Kepler satellite to observe tiny fluctuations in the star's brightness. Kepler is usually used to spot exoplanets by looking for these changes in brightness as the planet passes between us and the distant star, but the sensitivity can also be used for other means. KIC belongs to a class of stars known as hybrid pulsators, whose brightness subtly pulses due to wobbles in the material making up the star. Monitoring these changes in brightness over long periods of time, astronomers can spot the oscillatory patterns as different density waves propagate through the star, just as earthquakes do on Earth, an analogy which gives the field its name of astroseismology. By looking at nearly 4 years' worth of Kepler data, the astronomers were able to see how the different waves propagated in the star, which, amongst other things, depends on how round it is. Kick was found to be almost perfectly spherical, to 1 part in 1 million, with a difference of only 3 kilometers between its radius drawn from the center to the poles and the radius between the center and the equator. In a star which is more than 3 million kilometers across, which is about twice as wide as the Sun, this is not much. As well as setting new records, we can learn a few interesting things from this astroseismology about the composition, behavior, and environment of stars. Things rotating slowly tend to be rounder, as do things which have their shapes constrained by strong magnetic fields, with the team hoping to perform their analysis on many more stars in the future and use these observations to learn more about star formation processes. And finally, rocks recovered from deep within the Chicxulub crater were shown this month to have properties ideal for supporting microbial life. However, supporting microbes is scant compensation for dinosaurs and 70% of all species on Earth at the time, who were probably wiped out by the rock which impacted the Earth and created the 110-mile-wide, 12-mile-deep crater some 66 million years ago. The Chicxulub crater is unusual on Earth as it has an inner ring of rock peaks as well as an outer one. Such inner peak rings are observed on other solar system bodies, appearing more common as the size of the crater grows, but it is difficult to investigate the mechanisms by which they form without having access to the rocks themselves. A group of geologists have recently been able to drill down into the Chicxulub crater for the first time, recovering from under 1.3 kilometers of sea and rock a set of cylindrical cores. Analyzing these cores showed evidence that the inner peak rings are formed from rocks dredged up from deep below the surface by the impact, and were also far less dense and more porous than expected. Such porous rocks are excellent at hosting microbial life, and the scientists suggest that they may have provided an excellent shelter for life during the early periods of its blossoming on Earth, when our planet was subject to regular large impacts which would otherwise have created a very harsh environment.